Okay, folks, it's the end of January, or Jimuary, when a lot of people join the gym in hopes of getting into shape and making profound changes in their lives. Unfortunately, for many folks, these goals become short-lived, and they soon quit their workout programs.
4 years ago, Michael McBride was up late one night eating pizza, feeling sorry for himself, when one of those fitness infomercials came on, and 90 days later, he lost 25 pounds.
Today, fitness coach Michael McBride has helped over 100 people kickstart living a healthier lifestyle and sticking to it.
Listen as Michael shares with us his secrets on getting started, busting fitness myths, and workouts for guys over 40.
Plus, how to get your lover to get in shape with you.
What if Queen Latifah had come out at the Grammys?
Macklemore may have been a gigolo in his early days.
And same love, doggy style.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of financial support of people like you. Thank you. Upgrade your account today at feastoffun.com/plus and listen to our fabulous podcast 5 days a week.
Fitness coach Michael McBride is here today. 4 years ago, he was up late one night eating pizza, feeling sorry for himself. That's not a bad night, Michael.
No, it sounds like a really nice night, doesn't it?
And one of those fitness infomercials came on, and then 90 days later, Michael lost 20%. We went from 20 to 7% body fat and lost 25 pounds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it was, you know, one of those nights, you know, I had actually, I was married, one of those relationship kind of... You've gained weight because you're in a relationship. Yeah, exactly.
You married a Mexican guy who makes delicious food.
We have enchiladas. We have tacos. Yeah.
Well, would not you like tacos. Some more chips and salsa? It's like, please.
Show me a bag of chips and salsa and it will be gone.
And you're from Texas.
Well, yeah.
Chips and salsa is like water.
That's right. That's why we lived and breathed it.
But a lot of people don't realize when you go to a restaurant in Texas, instead of bringing you a basket of bread, they bring you chips and salsa.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's kind of more of a Tex-Mex thing, too.
Yeah.
And my husband's Mexican, so he gets pissed off whenever people say Tex-Mex is Mexican. So.
Oh, it's one of those.
One of those things.
It's not.
He's very proud.
This is not Taco Bell. It's this real Mexican food. So since then, you have helped over 100 people kickstart living a healthier lifestyle. You're kind of like the... very fuckable Richard Summons here in Chicago.
With less fro.
A little bit less. But your hair is kind of high.
It is big. Yeah. It is big. Yeah. Well, I make up for, you know, my own height with my hair height.
You added an extra couple inches to your height.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It really works. Does elongate yourself. A little platform shoes and you'll be like 6'3".
Well, like a nude shoe, so it keeps the length.
Is your husband a jealous man?
Well, he's Mexican.
Yeah.
So.
I'm way far away from Michael. What's your husband's name?
Rodrigo.
Oh, shit. That's my brother's name.
Oh,
shit.
Yikes. I don't think I'm married to your brother.
Oh, thank God.
We would have found out. You might be one of my cousins, though.
Oh, Dios mío. So, how did you, like, get into this situation? Because you're, like, a musician by training. You teach music. And now you have kind of, like, a second job as a fitness coach.
Yeah, it's crazy. I have like crazy degrees in music. I got my doctorate in music composition at Northwestern University.
Oh, you're a doctor?
Yeah, wow. I'm Dr. McBride to my students.
I need to get my heart checked because I think it's beating faster.
Did you bring your stethoscope?
I always say if somebody's choking at a wedding, then you know I can rush to their side and maybe compose a song with the various gurgling sounds they're making.
Really? Like, it would be like...
Yeah, and it would only last about 7 seconds because then they die.
Okay,
yeah.
So, doctor.
So you're Dr. McBride,
so
not
by
a
day,
medical doctor. By day, you're a musician.
Right, by day, a musician, and you know I'm a teacher, and had this music side, and like you said, I saw this P90X infomercial on, I was asleep on the couch, Saturday morning about 4 a.m., the TV was blaring, we had just polished off a pizza, and of course what else is on TV at that time but those
infomercials
that you like get sucked into.
You're
but
lucky
you hate
it wasn't
yourself
a thigh
watching
master.
I know my life would be very different.
Do you know what a comfort wipe is? It's for people that want to wipe their butts with their hands. They use a stick.
I hate using my own hands.
Jeez. And it's, you know, it's indication that those late night infomercials are for people who are on the last leg.
Right, right. Who have, yeah, they're at death's door, they're destitute, or, you know, they're, well, whatever. That was me.
And so you ordered it, it came in the mail, and you watched the P90X, and you followed the program.
Yeah, I followed the program. I never buy anything off of infomercials. Like, my husband will buy anything that Susan Lucci endorses. So, like,
does he have the face polisher?
He has everything.
Wow.
Everything. We had the Malibu Pilates chair, which collected clothes for
a few months. Did you ever buy the Hula chair?
Oh, I didn't, but that looks like a lot of fun.
One of those so bad.
Not for exercise, but yeah.
Yeah, like you could fuck in that thing.
You know? Well, you know, I'm sure you could do whatever.
Hula.
Google it, people. Hula chair. It's hysterical. So you got yourself P90X.
So I did the program, yeah. And I was like posting these, you know, selfies, you know, bathroom mirror selfies, as I was like, holy crap, this is working. Mm-hmm. Like, I can see my muscles, I'm getting definition. And, you know, I put stuff out on Facebook, and then I made like a YouTube transformation video of the before and after. Mm-hmm. And like 25 of my friends were like, what are you doing? What is that? And it's like, just it's P90X thing. So they
ended
up buying it.
And for people who are not familiar with that approach, it's basically group exercise that is cross training, where you're doing squats. It's kind of like an aerobics class with weights.
So it's actually a home workout.
Yeah.
Yeah. It comes on DVDs and it comes with a nutrition plan. And they have a shake, a health shake that you can use.
Did you follow the nutrition plan and the shake and everything?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
A sensible dinner.
That's right.
So it's basically, it's aerobics at home. It's like sweating to the oldies.
Well, it's like functional fitness. So you have some like 3 days of weightlifting. There's a martial arts day. There's a yoga day. There's a cardio day, like plyometrics, and a day of rest. And it switches things up like every 4 weeks so that you don't plateau.
Is there like an ice cream sundae day?
The ice cream sundae day happens on day 91.
At the end of the thing.
That's right. After you take your after pictures and you're like, ugh.
Thank God.
Now I can let it all out.
What was the hardest part about doing that, about this 90-day period?
You know, like about 3 weeks into any fitness program, and I think everybody can relate to this, you know, you feel like I should be skinny by now, mm-hmm. and it's not working, so I'm just going to eat a pint of ice cream. So, you know, what I did to kind of motivate myself, you know, because I didn't even know there were anything called Beachbody coaches or anybody to help me out. I just watched a bunch of YouTube transformation videos and I was like, if that guy can do it, I can do it. Mm. So then I just like did one more day.
So what's the point where you're like, oh my God, now I see a change?
You know, I started to see a change in about 2 weeks, actually. Mm-hmm. It was pretty awesome. And then, but the biggest like amount of change happened at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, you got a good pump and you were like, hey, I'm exercising. And so, you know, now you coach over 100 people and doing the same thing, and not necessarily P90X, but just any fitness program.
Yeah. Right? So like there's actually a lot of different, depending on what your goals are, if you want to lose weight or get more endurance or, you know, gain muscle, you know, there's a bunch of different programs that this company has. And so what I do is I ask people, you know, what are their goals? You know, what have they struggled with? What have they tried? And then try to match them up with a program that will help them to their goals. And we connect over a Facebook group, and I give daily health tips and help them through and give motivation, you know, keep them on track and crack a whip on their ass if they need it.
Does anybody come up with like an outrageous fitness, like I want like 20-inch guns, you know?
Right. Something like that. There's this amazing program called Photoshop you can use for that.
It's oh, really I know. Great. It works.
It's really. I lost 10 pounds of Photoshop. Well, what's the biggest like challenge you face in motivating your clients? Because right now, a lot of people they just started a fitness program and they're like, fuck, this is boring. This is like,
this
is back to the abuse that I had in high school.
I'm tired.
When, mm-hmm. when you know, it didn't make any sense. And I feel like I'm in the military and I'm my own sergeant and this sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, once they've actually taken those steps of saying, like, I'm going to do something, like, that's a whole other story, you know, because a lot of things stop people from even starting, like money, time, or motivation, or they feel like they've tried everything already, but it's not worth it. So
are expensive gym memberships better than the cheap ones? I mean, this is sometimes like a
lot
of people
feel pressure to go more.
These, I mean, I get this all the time on Facebook and Grindr and, you know, Twitter, everywhere. It's like, I don't want to spend, I don't have enough money to spend $30 on a gym membership. But the same people, I literally go to their photos and they'll have two cocktails, which I'm sure retail $30.
Exactly.
In their thing. And I'm like, look, if you just cut out those two cocktails, you have the money for your gym.
And you'll probably lose a lot of weight.
Right. Yeah. Two birds with one stone.
But it's this kind of thing where, and maybe this is like back to feminism and, you know, devaluing our bodies, is that we don't value ourselves, especially as gay men or just as human beings, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of spending $30 on a gym membership seems a lavish extravagance.
Yeah.
But a cocktail is perfectly reasonable.
And it's not just the money, but it's also the time. Like, you know, so many people say, I don't have time to do something for myself, but they'll spend all of their time doing other things for other people or for work. And, you know, it doesn't take that long to get fit. It just takes consistency.
What is, for somebody who's listening right now, they're just saying, and this is the thing that I tell people is like, your arms are connected to your stomach and connected to your legs. And they say, I don't want a lot of muscle in the chest or in the arms area. I just want to lose some fat in the midsection. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to do crunches.
I'm going to do 600 crunches and do that crazy ab machine at the gym that puts like 50 pounds on it. Yeah. I mean, I think that's kind of like the pride and joy of a lot of people. Like if they can just get abs, 6-pack abs, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you starve yourself, you will get the abs.
Sure.
I mean, Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club, when he takes his shirt off, he has abs.
Absolutely.
Our guest yesterday, he had abs.
And so you know, my response is like, listen, your whole, it's a body you're training, not just an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
And we break it apart into the components in order to address it individually, but ultimately working out your legs does affect the rest of your body.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the truth is 600 crunches isn't going to bring you any closer to abs than, you know, a squat would as well. You know, it's all about a balance of your nutrition. Nutrition is 80% of your results. If you're not eating right, there's no way that you can outwork out the bad food that you're eating. But you know, a crunch is fine for developing core strength, but it's not going to make any more definition. So if you're doing a balance of cardio as well as weightlifting, your body's going to lose fat at whatever rate and whatever places it's going to. And everybody's different. Some people, you know, store more fat in their gut, some in their legs or in their butt. So everybody's different. But you know, as long as you're consistent with doing those things, of eating clean, and you know, doing a full body workout, then that's going to lead to getting great abs.
So if I get like 2 meat lovers pizza a week, is eating clean instead of 3?
Yeah, if you drop it down from 3,
no, but
it's better.
A lot, but you, it, know, you hear this, yeah. Right. So it's like, if it fits your macros, meaning is that you can eat anything. You can lose weight on McDonald's as long as your calories are low enough and your balance of carbohydrates to fats to protein is in the right place.
Well, yeah, macros. Everybody's probably seen the story of the high school teacher about a month ago who lost a bunch of weight eating McDonald's as well. And in fact, I was just talking with a friend of mine last night about that very same story. And, you know, it depends on if you're trying to lose weight compared with if you're trying to gain muscle. If you're trying to lose weight, I think it is a lot more about just calories in, calories out. Mm-hmm. But if you're trying to gain muscle, your body needs particular kinds of macros, you know, proteins, fats, and carbs to be able to function. So, but as far as losing weight, I think it's also about the amount of food that you're eating and the volume so that you can feel satiated.
And losing weight, getting your body fat down is typically a very good thing, but a lot of times people go through these starvation kind of diets, and so you're not feeding your body exactly what it does need.
Exactly.
So it can, you know, it can throw off your metabolism, it can do all sorts of stuff too.
So I'm a person right now listening, I got inspired by your pictures. What is my first step to do besides spending money on you? Well, I live in, you know, Skankiki, in the middle of nowhere in a farm.
They have a great gym there.
There actually is a good gym in Skankiki. But if you're in Idaho, go, you know, go to the...
I highly recommend it.
There's great gyms everywhere you go. But so is joining a gym the best strategy for somebody who has no experience in lifting weights and doing anything?
You know, I think the best strategy for someone to do is to do whatever you can do. So if it is joining the gym, or if it's doing like a home workout program or getting with a buddy, as long as you can do something and you know you can be consistent, then that is definitely better than doing zero. Now, you know, if you have no idea what you're doing in the gym, you're like, I got a gym membership and maybe there's like a few personal training, lessons that they'll give you, you know, that kind of gives you an orientation, but, there's so much that goes into it. Like, how do you know what to eat, when to eat, portions, you know, for that, you know, if they were talking with me, then I would really have a conversation with, you know, with them and to see, you know, what are their goals? Are they trying to lose weight, gain muscle, endurance, all of that? And, you know, then recommend a program that's clear, where it's all written out for them. They know exactly what to eat, when to eat, you know, what to lift, when to take your rest day, and, you know, find something that's manageable for them. You know, there's workouts that are 25 minutes long, and then others, if you want to do something much longer or you have that time, then that's possible as well. Interestingly, there's actually a lot of research coming out now that say the first half hour of your workout is the most effective part.
What do you mean by that? How is that?
Because you're able to push harder, and there's kind of a mental barrier that people cross over when they're like, I have to work out longer than a half hour. So they kind of save themselves in the beginning. Okay.
So if I'm lifting weights, and my idea is to, I want to get big, so I want to lift heavy, I should do the heavy part in the first half hour of the workout.
Well, and it depends on what your goal is. So if you're trying to gain weight and do hypertrophy, then that's mm-hmm. a whole other kind of training where you do need rest in between muscle mm-hmm. and in between sets. And sometimes that does take a little bit longer.
Okay. See, I talk to a lot of old bodybuilders because they're the ones, they're stuck around.
They know what they're doing, and they're still doing it.
They got the muscle when they were young, and now at the age of 50 and 60, they still kept the muscle. So they've been all throughout these decades, you know, somehow surviving with, if it's steroids or whatever it is they're doing, they're got it. And the one next thing they say is, warm up, you sick motherfuckers, and stretch the muscle you're going to work out. If you want to, you know, there's a friend of ours is actually sending us a copy of his book, what is called Gray Hair, Black Iron.
What?
And it's bodybuilding for men over the age of 40. And one of its key components is saying, it's like so many young people just like come into the gym and they just start lifting weights because they're, you know, their bodies are limber and youthful and young. But as you get older, it's like your body kind of slows down and needs to warm up. Mm-hmm. And if you look at like Steve Cook, who everybody's in love with, fitness guru on mm-hmm. YouTube, he is a big proponent of warming up for at least 10 to 15 minutes on a treadmill and also stretching before you actually lift mm-hmm. those weights.
And I think it's also important that, you know, with throughout the week, you're mixing in flexibility work like yoga or some stretching, you know, where it's a day of stretching and recovery as well.
And so this kind of contradicts the idea that the first 30 minutes are the most important for in terms of weightlifting, because those first 30 minutes are going to be mostly like warming up and doing cardio and stretching, isn't it?
Well, I think it depends on when you're starting the timer.
Oh, okay. So it's the first 30 minutes once you start lifting the weights.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Here's another thing that a lot of people believe is that cardio burns calories all day long.
Is that not true?
There's studies that are saying that actually it's not.
I thought it burned calories for like 36 hours.
They're saying that the direct impact is minimal, and your body's composition is more about the whole week as opposed to what you did that day.
Yeah.
In a big picture sort of sense.
So the body, just by living and breathing and your heart pumping and maintaining mm-hmm. its own temperature, is going to burn a certain number of calories. It's called the basal metabolic rate. Uh-huh. So, you know, for me, like just living, I might burn 1800 calories a day. Mm-hmm. So when I do cardio on top of that, maybe I'll burn an extra 500 or 600 calories with cardio. But if that cardio is kind of mid intensity or even low intensity, like I see people on treadmills, you know, watching daytime talk shows and or
walking
like,
and
walking, you know, like actually reading a book, mm-hmm. You know, but they'll do it for 90 minutes because they mm-hmm. feel like they have to have their gym time. That's actually much less effective than if you're doing something much more intense. So for cardio, kind of the hot thing right now is called HIIT, HIIT work, high intensity interval training. So it's much shorter, it's much more intense. But what it also does is it activates the anaerobic kinds of exercises so that you're actually building muscle. And the muscle, the more that you build the muscle, the more that's going to burn calories throughout the day whenever you're sleeping.
So what's a typical HIIT workout? It's like 10 minutes of jumping rope, 10 minutes of like, you know, of jumping jacks. What is it?
Yeah, much shorter intervals. Okay. So it would be intervals like, you know, doing a minute of high kicks and then, you know, switching to, you know, a minute of you know, squat jumps and then, you know, a minute of side to side jumps. And then you take like a 30-second break.
For how long?
25 to 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the concept here is that it's instead of like doing sets of like, say, a bench press, you're doing sets of something intense cardiovascularly, and then you're doing the rest is easy cardiovascular. Right. So like, for example, if you're on the treadmill, you're going, you know, 3 miles an hour, and then your intensity is like 6 miles an hour.
Right, right. And you have longer periods of time where you're at the 6 miles an hour, and then you use the 3 miles an hour as kind of like a little recovery. And you actually kind of can surprise yourself, like if you feel like, oh my gosh, I can't do 6 miles an hour. But if you just say, I'm going to do it for 1 minute, then you'll find that when you go back to the 3 miles an hour, it's like nothing. It's really easy.
You can't undervalue cardio and what it does for you. I mean, because it adds to your life, your longevity. And for men, it's like, you know, if you have erectile problems, chances are it's related to some kind of
get
cardio
the blood
problem.
Flow going.
You know, you got to get that blood pumping.
Now, this is a great one I found, is that everybody believes that if you do it on a treadmill as opposed to on the pavement running, it's somehow safer.
Running. Oh, okay.
Machines are safer. But I guess the reality is that variety is the safety, not the whatever it is that you're doing. Is that when you vary things, then your body doesn't get overused in that one way.
Yeah. I mean, we've all seen those Vine videos of the people who have no idea what they're doing in the gym, and they're like throwing crazy weights around, and we're all cringing to see what's going to happen. So the reality is you can hurt yourself anywhere, but you can also, you know, be really smart and effective and have great form in a lot of different places. So as far as like running on the treadmill or running on the street, I think a lot of it depends on if you have great shoes or what's you're running for.
Well, you're not going to get hit by a car if you're running on a treadmill.
If you're running across Lakeshore Drive, it's a little bit hazardous.
You know, you might.
There's a lot of hilarious videos on YouTube of people almost dying on a treadmill. So
right. I can like lose about 2 hours of the day with that. But as far as like the safety of machines versus free weights and all of that, sure, with machines, you probably have less of a chance of something falling on your face and crushing your skull. However, a lot of machines are built for specific body sizes. And if you are not that body size, then the range of motion is not really matching you.
And well, you're a shorter guy. How do you adjust to, because I know it's like, I used to date a guy that was 6'4", and every single time we went to the gym together, he would complain like, this is sucks, you know?
Right. It's like, right. I mean, you do have to adjust the machine, and, you know, so you have to be really aware that just because some guy got off of it right before, you can't just jump right on it.
Here's the one most common mistake people do, guys do, and women do when they start lifting weights. What is it?
They go too hard, too fast in the beginning.
I agree, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I say, this is the way I explain it to them, is like, you want to have bigger legs, lighten the load, because when your weight is too heavy, the muscle, other muscles are working, as opposed to the one you're supposed to make that weight move.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then that, it's bad form.
So by lightening the weight, you make it heavier for your body.
Yeah. What I recommend for all of the people that I work with for week one is don't go crazy. Like, don't jump into it like there's no tomorrow. There will be plenty of time to do that. Take this time to really focus on form, use light weights, and, you know, just get used to it. You know, because a lot of people, they have a really great day one and day two, because delayed onset muscle soreness for people over 25 usually catches up 2 days later.
Is it the next day when you're younger?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why don't I just drink a beer and that... What is the role of alcohol actually with delayed onset muscle soreness? Do you know?
I don't know specifically about DOMS, but I do know that, you know, alcohol in your system does slow your metabolism. You know, your liver is busy creating, you know, filtering out all the toxins. So it does have an effect.
Some people even go as far as saying, like, if you're going to go out drinking heavily, after your workout that day that your workout won't really do anything for your body in terms of like building or growing.
Like you just lost your time. I don't know if I agree. I think that's a little bit too extreme. Cause
well, you know, you're looking at a bunch of calories though. Is when you because what are you looking at? Like a shot of vodka is like 400 some calories. So depending on how many drinks you have, I mean, you have two or three martinis, and that's your day's worth of calorie intake right there.
Right.
So and that's
and I like my sugary drinks with a little umbrella on top. So
and so that's with you add the fructose to it, and that's goes right to the hips.
Let's just be clear here. According to Google, there are 100 calories in a shot of vodka.
Okay, so if you have a martini,
it's
you're
a big
having,
shot.
You know.
And just to give you a comparison, a Big Mac calories has 550. So that's five shots of vodka.
But you're also looking at like things you add into it. And then if you have something that's like a flavored vodka, you know, I'm sure that they just have, you know, because a lot of that stuff tastes very sweet. So there's, you know, high fructose corn syrup in it. And because it's alcohol, they don't have to label anything on it.
Right.
They just put it out there. So and I think that's part of the reason, like when I started gaining weight is when I started drinking a lot of those flavored vodkas.
Oh, because you were like, oh, watermelon.
Oh, it tastes so good.
This is so great.
But it's almost clear. It can't be anything bad.
Yeah. It's exactly. Absolute. They love the gay community.
They want us to have good body images.
Yeah. I'll drink some of that acai berry vodka.
It's got antioxidants.
There you go. Why not?
It's a superfood.
It might as well go in my smoothie. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger actually... in front of the press one time, took like shots of whiskey and put it in his post-workout drink.
Oh, he wow. Did.
Just to brag.
Just to have fun.
Wow.
Well, Arnold liked to smoke pot though and lift, didn't he? And he liked to smoke pot for recovery.
What's the role of smoking pot and building muscle? Because Arnold Schwarzenegger was a big proponent, is still a big proponent of smoking pot.
Based on anecdotal evidence, you can tell that it's very effective.
Looking at Arnold, it works.
Well, it's the idea that
it does cause you to
recovery.
Sleep with your housekeeper, though.
But it's about like the idea that recovery is the most important. And for a lot of people who are like lifting weights after work, they're so agitated, they're so wound up that it's hard to fall asleep. And so smoking a little joint, a little ganja, helps to chill. Well,
you have muscle soreness also, too. I don't know. Sometimes you work out and you have like some nausea because you've worked out really hard, or you have like that lactic acid all built up in your system and it kind of makes you sick or queasy. And I think sometimes it cuts through that.
Bro science, this is the thing. It's like, there's no money to be made in all this shit. You know, there's more money to be made in keeping you sick than in having you be healthy.
Absolutely.
And so no corporation in the right mind is going to sink big bucks into finding out the effectiveness of, for example, a vitamin C powder in your recovery. So everything we have is anecdotal, pretty much. And so, you need to ultimately decide for yourself if this works for you. One thing we've found is that vitamin C powder is one of the most effective anti-inflammants in reducing inflammation before and after your weight workout. And all the bodybuilders that I talk to all swear by it. They're just like, they stick it into their smoothies.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, absolutely. The pulse recovery that I have does have some vitamin C as well.
Mark, what is like your favorite things to throw in a post-workout smoothie or
well,
drink?
I put whey protein because that's fast, solid. You know, your body absorbs that very fast. Vitamin C, I also put in MSM because I get that in the powder form, so it's easy for me to mix right in there.
And what is
also,
the role of MSM?
MSM, it helps with your joints.
Because that's salt.
Because it has sulfur in it, and it also helps your body detoxify and fight off like disease. And then I also put in some Indian spices because those are kind of like anti-cancer, anti-inflammatories. And
which ones?
Turmeric, fenugreek, and cinnamon. And then also I put some ginseng in there, powdered ginseng, and BCAA sometimes too.
And some estrogen blockers for that minty taste. To quote Marge Simpson from The Simpsons.
I forgot about that one.
That was a lovely episode. But there's a lot of debate over how much protein you're supposed to have. And for a while, people were like, there was a blog called Two Scoops Tony, you remember him?
Tony Two Scoops.
Two Scoops Get Big. And it's the idea that it was like 2 grams of protein to 1 pound of body weight.
Holy crap.
And a lot of people are saying that even 1-to-1 is better, or even slightly less than
slightly
that.
Less. Yeah. I've even seen, you know, for kind of regular people who just want to be fit, not bodybuilders.
We all want to look like Steve Cook, basically.
Right.
We all want to be Steve Cook.
That the formula is actually 1 gram for every kilogram of weight that you are. So it's like way less protein.
So if you weigh 200 pounds, like some people I know, I have this friend who weighs 200 pounds. would this friend of mine...
How many kilograms is that? So that's like 100 kilograms, right?
A kilogram is like, 2.2 pounds. So, it's like a little less.
You'd want 100. Like 85 grams of protein or something.
Yeah, like 90.
Right?
Yeah.
90?
Yeah.
There's this idea that...
That's not very much, is it?
It's not. Well, and, you know, a lot of people think, like, I have to have, like, 50 grams of protein in this one meal. But there's a lot of research that says that the body can only assimilate a certain amount of protein. Like, between, I've seen 15 and 30 grams is the very max within a 3-hour period.
And then afterwards, like, that protein, if you ingest it, it's not beginning, you know, it's not going to be turned into muscle mass. It'll probably be converted into fat.
Exactly.
Or even worse, it actually taxifies your liver.
Kidneys, livers. Yeah. You get kidney stones.
So my rule of thumb is real food is the king.
It is the best.
But if you can't, but there is one time of the day that whey protein is better than real food is when you, right after your workout.
Because
your body's like starving.
So the trick is...
And you can have it at the gym in the locker room.
Yeah. I mean, after the workout, you have that anabolic window. It's like between like a half hour and an hour where the muscles are most ready to receive nutrients.
Yeah.
And if you can have a post-workout that has 4 parts simple carbs to every 1 part protein... Then that actually, the simple carbs actually cause a spike in insulin. And that insulin causes your cells to kind of open up to receive whatever nutrients is coming through the bloodstream.
So I should eat like a bag of gummy bears.
So like some like bodybuilders, they'll eat like pixie sticks and they'll have gummy bears like right after the workout. That's the only time that they'll have these like candy simple carbs.
Should I put sugar in my protein drink?
Well, if you can balance that with your protein. So I actually do
a spoonful of sugar.
It makes the medicine go down. So I actually do a recovery drink. It's called Results in Recovery, and it has sucrose and dextrose in it, as well as whey protein. And I just scoop it in and mix it with water.
Table sugar is sucrose.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you're not buying like something like...
No, but it tastes like an orange creamsicle and it's yummy.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff. Why can't I just like bring a pint of Haagen-Dazs to the locker?
You'll just say like, I'm bulking, dude.
You know what's weird is like when we were in Texas, we were working out of this gym, and like every time we would work out, we'd like all of a sudden the locker room would smell like fish, and somebody would like eat like a can of tuna. And one guy ate like a can of sardines like right after. And they're both supposed to be very good, but you know, you don't want to smell that in a locker room.
Not in a closed space.
So after starting a New Year's resolutions, how do you maintain consistency to reach the goals?
Yes.
I think that's a big problem for a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think everybody is really good at following through with their New Year's resolutions.
Well, it's like the thing, the number one question I get asked is how often do I need to exercise? And my answer for that is what my violin teacher told me as a kid. You don't have to practice a violin every day. Only on the days that you eat.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's smart.
You don't have to exercise only on the days that you breathe.
Only on the days that you breathe.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for setting goals and maintaining them, I think it's really the first thing that I, ask people to do is to create their goal and make sure that it's what I call SMART. And this is a 5-letter acronym that, you know, a lot of people know, but it's really all about, I'll kind of break it down. So SMART. So
SMART.
SMART. SMART goals. So S is specific. So if you say like, I want to lose weight, then I want to know, well, how much weight do you want to lose? So let's say 10 pounds. It has to be measurable. That's the M.
20-inch guns.
20-inch guns.
Okay.
You need to invest in Photoshop.
See you in 5 years.
That's right. The A, it has to be attainable. The R is it has to be relevant. So it has to actually mean something to you.
It means a lot.
And then the T means it has to be timely. So you have to like set a goal.
I thought
time.
I was injecting testosterone.
T is testosterone.
To set the time?
It's smart to then, I guess.
Okay. And then are there any more letters?
That's the end. It's just five letters into the word smart.
So be realistic and do something that you can assimilate slowly. Because this is the thing, like I tell people, is like, if you're going to change your diet and you're going to start a new workout plan, do one or the other. Don't do both at the same time.
Yeah, you get overwhelmed. And just like we said earlier, the biggest problem with people starting is they bite off too much and then they get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. I usually listen to the song from Dreamgirls, Patience, to remind myself at the gym that it's about like small progressive steps that
and
make the
I don't
the
know why
change.
People look at you weird in the gym if you're singing Patience out.
I actually like sing along with the music.
It's what kind of embarrassing favorite? And and he dances.
You played Rocky in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I sure
live
did.
Show, the live stage production.
Not the original movie.
And and you actually like had to sing and, you know...
And wear a gold Speedo.
I sure do.
The gold hot pants.
Yes.
You still have the gold hot pants? Were those
yours? I do. Well, yeah.
Are you wearing them right
now? No, I don't pass those around.
So, and what kind of music do you like to, like, get you excited at the gym when you're lifting weights and doing cardio and all that stuff?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what gets you moving?
I think my biggest motivation is kind of like whatever's hot right now. Like, you know, if there's a cool Rihanna mix or something. Although sometimes I get kind of like... weird where I'll feel like talk radio is so much more motivational than Eye of the Tiger. And
you know, a lot of our listeners tell us that they're listening to this podcast, and I'm like,
they're running, they're working out of the gym.
I really feel like Feast of Fun is the most motivational thing to listen to.
Faster,
now, more weight.
I like to listen to Daft Punk right now.
Oh, that's good.
You know, and the nice thing is like Pandora and iTunes Radio, you can like, don't have to pay for it.
Exactly.
But the problem is then you have to sit through a McDonald's ad.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of counteracts the whole working out thing.
It's horrible.
Let's talk about peer pressure for a second too, because you have a lot of people, it's like, you know, people that are in shape sometimes is like they get accused of like being maybe like body fascist if they say you should work out, you should do that kind of thing. But the reverse of it also too is like people that don't necessarily work out don't necessarily value your time at the gym or think like why are you going to the gym? You should be having cocktails with me and hanging out and not doing anything. How do you deal with the peer pressure?
Yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of like crazy body shaming that are going around. I mean, I think everybody's probably seen that mom with the three kids that's really fit, and then it the memes like, well, what's your excuse?
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, lots of media storm about that. You know, my personal view is it's your body and you do with it what you want. But I need to ask you the question, are you truly happy with who you are and the way you look? When you look in the mirror, are you truly happy? And if you are not, or if there's like a little hesitation, then let's figure out what we can do to make you happy with that.
Happiness is a relative term.
Absolutely. Yeah. So happiness is not 5% body fat.
Don't Buddha say like happiness is a choice you have to make?
Happiness, well, it's a posture. Like you actually start from a place of happiness rather than waiting for external circumstances to make you happy.
And that's ultimately what I think the biggest lesson you can learn from fitness and why a lot of why Arnold Schwarzenegger, except for being a good governor, was very successful in everything else in life, was part of it is because it teaches you how to break something apart in easy steps and to achieve that goal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're a musician, too.
Right. Yeah, it's the same thing as practicing piano. So, you know, if you have that dream of like, I want to be a great pianist, or I want to, you know, do a bodybuilding competition.
Pianist.
I'm very particular when I say pianist, just to make sure I'm not confused.
You have to practice a lot and
break it apart. You practice a lot, you break it apart, you problem solve, and you take little steps. But you're also working with mentors and you ask for help. You know, you're working with a teacher or a coach who is further along the road and can give you that direction and give you exercises to make sure that you're filling in those holes.
What's the most annoying fitness questions you guys get asked?
Oh my gosh.
That you're just like, are you kidding me?
Well, somebody just the other day, they Facebook messaged me and they said, I need some help with some fitness. I need to lose weight and stop eating.
Well, how are you going to stop eating? You still need to eat.
But there's this weird dysfunctional thing that's going on. It's like, we don't, you know, and I turned to these guys and I said, you know, you live in the age of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You have Google, motherfucking Google in front of you. You have a question, type it.
Mm-hmm.
There's already a million people have already asked this question, and there's a million people already done video blogs and blogs and forums answering your question.
But they want to engage you and find out what your motivation is and where you get it from.
I think it's very lazy, though. In some sense, the bigger problem is not that the fact that you feel you're in or out of shape, is that you're so passive about everything in your life that the only way you can get started is by starting a casual conversation with a complete stranger on an internet forum or hookup site or app or social network. Yeah. And ultimately that, like, that really reflects on them. So I lose my shit and I read them the Riot Act and I go, it's like, look at you. You have all these tools. When I was a kid, we had to go buy books.
Well, maybe you should tell them to take a cold shower because a cold shower has some benefit on productivity, right?
Yeah. So I don't know if you've ever, been to a wonderful tropical location and you got in the water and it was a little chilly. Well, this is nothing like that.
So my friend is into this cold water therapy to lose weight.
Are you doing this yourself?
You know, every once in a while, I will take a cold shower. And let me tell you why.
Your husband's not satisfied?
No. Ooh, got to settle down a little bit there. And I'll tell you why. Because if I take a cold shower for 30 seconds, you know, just kind of dial the water down, then that's the hardest thing that I have to do all day.
What? You're like, this is difficult, and so anything after this is easy?
Absolutely.
I don't. My friend does something where it's like he runs like water on his back and to lose weight, and so like because he chills his body,
yeah,
and so it kind of kicks on the internal furnace.
So there are all sorts of.
I always feel like here in Chicago in the winter, you know, months, it's like I'm sometimes in the better shape of my life because my body's burning fat and burning
trying
stuff.
To keep. The
Whereas like you know in the spring and in the summer, my body can just kind of get lazy,
yeah,
because they're just like, oh, you don't need to lose
weight. Completely the opposite. Seriously, yeah. I was born and raised in a hot climate, and so for me it's like winter gets me really stiff and slow moving, and in the summer I move more
and you feel free. I mean, of course, there are health benefits to taking cold, to being chilled, of actually increasing immune systems and getting the cardiovascular system started.
I like how it tightens up the nut sack. That's what I like.
It really brings it close to the body.
That's an extreme approach, and a lot of our listeners are balking.
You don't want to take a cold shower,
and my advice is maybe that might not be your thing, but you might want to try like going to Walgreens, to the grocery store, buy an ice pack, those blue ice packs. I like the ceramic ones. They're really, really good. And just ice the joint or the part of your body that hurts. And it helps reduce inflammation.
I mean, you see those football players in college and whatever, and they're sitting in bathtubs of ice because that really helps you with recovery sometimes. If you have an injury, it's just like ice that stuff and you'll be back on it. Yeah, get that inflammation down.
Mark, what kind of music do you like to listen to right now at the gym?
What am I listening to right now? I'm listening to, on Pandora right now, I'm listening to Velvet Underground Radio. I'm also listening to some disco and some funk.
We just stumbled across the weirdest song chain. I was a big fan of 80s guitar rock. I still am. And that really gets me excited. And so I listened to all this classic Van Halen with David Lee Roth and, Aerosmith and Sammy Hagar and, Black Sabbath and all that stuff. And I just, remembered... when David Lee Roth left Van Halen, he released a whole album of really tacky cover songs. So California Girls and this other one, medley.
I'm Just a Gigolo.
I'm Just a Gigolo. And we found out that it was like all the rage in gay circles in the 1970s because of the Village People covered it. And it was actually a really, really good cover of it. Of the song, and then
but the song goes
Marlene
back to like the 20s.
Dietrich covered it, and what is it?
It's an Austrian song, but it was originally done in German.
But that transgender woman in New York City,
Amanda Lear
covered it.
Louis Prima.
Louis Prima is the one who created the medley that we are familiar with. But it was like it was a big thing in gay. A lot of these gay people aren't around anymore, sadly, because of HIV and AIDS. But it's like, and it's part of our culture that we lost, but. I didn't realize that David Lee Roth was so queer influenced. And then you watch all those videos that he did when he left Van Halen, and they're chock full, not just of strippers and weird looking people, but of drag queens. You can spot them right front and center. And as kids, we had no idea.
Had no idea.
And we are reviving that culture here at the gym.
I know. I think, and they've done studies actually that the heart, that guitar sound, actually somehow physiologically affects your body to be more energetic and to
aggressive.
Lift weights.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
It gets your, you know,
gets you pumped.
Pumped. Yes.
Well, I just know that my university gym, when I was in undergrad, played Eye of the Tiger repeatedly.
I listened to that.
That's on my iPod. That gets me
it's
pumped.
It's the Eye of the Tiger. I just imagine I'm Mr. T and I'm like. That was basically the entire movie.
That was a really good impression.
Dude, I'm gonna get you, sucker. So the Grammys, of course, the ramifications keep on echoing with people writing and masticating about Macklemore's, or as Queen Latifah likes to call him, Macklemore, mass wedding ceremony, the gay wedding that they had at the Grammys, with, you know, one of the big problems is that Queen Latifah never has ever formally come out.
Officially not no. happened.
But she no. just keeps winking at the camera and she was like, for all of us, you know, well, what I'm saying?
And Jezebel wrote an article, what if Queen Latifah had announced she's gay? And they go on to say, like, you know, wouldn't it be inspirational? But also, how much money would she lose? Because are people ready for a big black lesbian to be out there? But like, she'd be accepted if she just stays in the closet and it's not really an issue. And so people are just kind of like, especially on that article, they're really kind of up in arms. Is like, just leave Queen Latifah alone. Her personal life is her personal thing. Life and let her do her thing. Yeah. But I think it's, you know, I think it's fair to speculate about somebody's sexuality and to talk about that. And, you know, if Queen Latifah doesn't want to talk about her personal life, and she's said many times, I don't want to talk about my personal life, that's her right as well.
But at the same time, she is involved in all these LGBT friendly, mm-hmm. you know, things to the point that Jessica Hallam, comedian Jessica Hallam, said, being gay has jumped the shark.
Well, it's also, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's like she probably just sat down with her team of people and said, like, what would that cost me? What kind of roles would I get? What would happen to my life? And you're like, honey, we'd all be out of jobs if you came out of the closet. Mm. And she's just like, well, what are you going to do?
Or nobody is ready for anything until you as an artist make it popular. Right.
Yeah. There's always got to be the first person.
It's like if I would have gone to Jay-Z and said, hey, I want you to make a gay wedding anthem for all the white people, you know, they're going to love it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, fuck no, you know. And then here came Macklemore and swept the Grammys and pissing off a lot of people. And, you know, and to the point that you're just like, you know, I'm over Macklemore.
And they were so clear about saying they were independent, they were self-made, you know, it wasn't the studio that kind of got in the way of the message.
They and there's a blog out there now that's claiming that Macklemore was a gay escort, and that's how he got his money to pay for his studio time in Seattle.
I know a lot of people who would have paid for that.
Well, you as a personal trainer, do you ever get approached by people being like, would you do it naked, or, you know?
Could you train me in my house naked?
Are you saying, fitness coach, sorry.
Are people sexual on Facebook?
You're such an attractive man. I wish we did the
show
naked.
Thank you.
That's, it's like, I, you know, if someone asked me, I said to our audience yesterday, if we don't put out a show today, it's because we had sex with Michael.
There you go.
But it's like, do people ever like approach you and you know, try? Obviously, they try to get sexual with you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to happen. You know, there are people who, everybody has their own motivations of what they're looking for. Yeah. And regardless of, you know, if I'm trying to be inspirational, or, you know, I'm faithful to my husband, you know, that is, you know, I can't control what other people are wanting for themselves. However, you know, there are instances where the conversation might start out with like, hey, dude, what's going on? And then the conversation will kind of turn into something else where I'll steer it somewhere else and say like, hey, what are you up to?
Deflect it. You're like,
I deflect.
Knock those penises away.
That's what it's like. I'm sure that Richard Simmons has fucked some of those fat girls.
Oh, I'm sure he's a lady killer. I'm sure he really is.
Who has never officially come out either?
Does he need to?
He's in drag now. He's the world's best drag queen, I have to say. You think you like Richard Simmons out of drag? You should see him in drag. Nah. you recently got married, right? 4 years ago?
Yeah.
At the same time, right?
Yeah, about 3.5 years ago. Yeah, August 2010.
So you made the change in your life. You lost... like you had the 90-day transformation. Then 6 months later, you got married. I look good.
It was like, I got to get ready for this wedding.
Was that kind of the thing?
The timing worked out. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I finished the first round like about a month before the wedding. So that helped.
Did your husband also get in shape with you or?
You know, in the beginning, I thought we were both going to do this together. And then he said, nope, I don't want to do that. I have all these other things to do. So, you know, he is actually, I'm helping him right now kind of get into his own shape as well.
Is that cause like conflict with you as a couple? Like when you guys like, you're like, come on, baby, let's go burn some, you know, sweat it up. And he's like, I'm just going to eat this pizza.
I'm just going to watch you.
I mean, because then you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You know, we're about the same size as well, like the same height. And you know, in the beginning, we wore all the same clothes. And then when I started to lose the weight, then it was like, oh, well, I have to buy clothes for me and you have to buy your own clothes.
Oh, you guys used to share clothes?
Yeah.
Oh, Fausto, yeah. I used to share some clothes too, but.
So like, I always say like his wardrobe got cut in half and mine doubled when we got married.
One of the common questions I get asked because Mark, when we started podcasting, he quit smoking and do you mind me talking about this? How much was your highest?
I was probably close to 260.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Loved him all the time.
Last December I was down to like 202 and right now I'm at about 222.
But you look fantastic.
Thank you.
And the number one question I get asked by everybody is how do I motivate my lover, my husband, wife to exercise with me or to just exercise in general?
Yeah.
And I said you can't change the person you love with.
You know, from the very beginning, and this is actually something that I learned when I kind of lost the weight, you know, the thing that I guess I'd always knew in my head but not knew in my heart is that the inner person is always the same, no matter how big or small you are. And so, you know, I fell in love with Rodrigo, not because of his, you know, shape or size or whatever. I fell in love with the person, his spirit, his energy. And you know, if he loses weight, that's fine. If he gains weight, that's fine. But it's, you know, it's the person that's the most important thing. And I think as far as somebody trying to motivate their, you know, their significant other to make healthy changes, you have to be the leader first. Like you have to really adopt the understanding that I'm taking care of myself for you rather than I have to take care of you and then you have to take care of me. And I think it's just a whole lot healthier that way. So sure, there's times where, you know, he, you know, felt pressure like, oh, I should be working out. And, you know, we had to kind of talk about that. And, you know, of course, I'm always supportive of his choices and, you know, try to help him to stay motivated and on track.
So you haven't left him like a gym widow where he's at home and you're off at the gym for hours on end. He's just sitting on, where's my husband?
Well, that's what the Real Housewives of Atlanta are for, to keep him babysitted.
Because I know
just
one
sit there
guy.
Watch some TV.
I'm not going to say his name.
Uh-huh.
But he's really involved in the fitness industry. Like, he's one of the biggest names in the fitness industry. And to the point that he doesn't, like, at one point in time, he didn't want to work out. Even though he was, like, involved in this industry so much. Like, he was the name involved in his field. And his partner started working out with some other guy and fell in love with his workout buddy.
Wow.
And they split up because of that.
Wow.
And it's very common, actually. Like, people, you know, Mark's very relaxed. As the guys I've lived with are all straight. But they're very hot.
Or women.
But, you know, that's one of the things we discovered. Because the gym we go to is pretty much gay. But it's, you know, I guess, I think there's a lot of gay guys at most gyms. But it's just most of the guys that we lift with or and hang out with are straight for whatever reason. Because as long as you have that muscle, like that idea of fitness in common, if you're going there to get fit, it's something to bond over.
Yeah. Maybe you pull out your dicks and suck each other. It's not gay.
It's hashtag no homo.
Yes.
Yeah.
As Michael Jackson sang, he said, no message can be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, you can't change. You really can't do much to change other people, but you can set the example.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, people go, what did you do?
Yeah. And then it's something that's coming from inside them and they feel like they're excited to do it rather than, oh, I'm in jail and I have to do this because somebody won't love me if I don't. Like, that's a terrible place to be.
I'm in jail?
Well, it's you being forced to do something you don't want to do.
Oh, I'm
forced to do something.
Like, what did,
I mean, jail is another thing.
I got arrested last week and myself. I had to spend time in prison.
Wow. But that's a whole other podcast.
It is a whole other, it's a whole other podcast titled Old Jokes That Keep Getting Recycled. What did you get arrested for?
Stealing people's hearts.
So did you hear about the...
Wait. Let's go. So Macklemore is now doing the tour thing. Mm-hmm. And a comedian in Australia who's adorable, Tom Ballard, who's gay, on a radio station, heard about this phenomena, I guess, that really ultra-conservative people, homophobic hate mongers, adopt pets and find out that their dog or their cat mm-hmm. have sex with anything.
Well, they're gay. Like, there's a woman in Nigeria who just got rid of her cat of 7 years because she's just like, I'm done with him. He's gay. If anybody wants his cat, take him.
And so...
And there was a pit bull named Elton that somebody got rid of because they're like, he's a gay dog.
Well, if you name him Elton, what else?
Well, they got adopted by... some nice lesbians adopted the dog and then they named
they
him
They named
Elton.
Him. Okay.
So, Tom Ballard had Macklemore on his radio show in Australia and managed to... make this song. It's called Same Love, Doggy Style. We like to play it for you right now. It's fabulous. Dedicated to Jesse and all the whorish dogs out there.
When I was just a puppy, my owner thought I was gay. Saw me mounting a schnauzer, didn't know what to say. He yelled, damn, son, schnauzer trouser, snake be nasty. Took me to the pound as he ate his Chick-fil-A, tripping. Yeah, guess he had a point, didn't he? He was just scared, used to hetero mutts. I remember thinking, why can't I be a normal dog? Just play fetch and piss on things and sniff in my own butt. For those who like the same Rex, it ain't easy. Dog on dog love still making people queasy. Think humping another doggy makes you acting all sleazy. Yet go and hump a chair, they led you off easy. Just a gay dog. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. A man's best friend somehow forgotten. The dog is all ho and no homo, bro.
Bye-bye.
I don't know.
And I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to. I can't change, even if I tried, even if I wanted to. My love, my love, my love, he keeps me warm. He keeps me warm. He keeps me warm.
If I was gay, I would think that humans hate me. Have you seen a chihuahua lately?
Look at that weird gay rat dog.
Gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from domestication, but a no-go zone if it's a male Alsatian. Dogs of all persuasions being labeled wussy. It just ain't fair. Yo, no dog likes pussy. Pet is synonymous with the lesser. It just shouldn't matter where you put your doodle. Jack Russell, Labrador, Whippet, Pug or Poodle. So join us in this fight, from bitches to kittens. It's dog rights for everybody. There is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was in the kennel, they taught me something else. If you can't accept your dog, then you don't deserve it. Just cause he blows wolf whistle doesn't mean he's a pervert. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless, rather than fighting for dogs and being rolled over. My name is Elton. I stand here to shout, just like Baha Men did. Let the dogs come out.
Yes.
That is so deep.
Let the dogs come out.
Oh, who let the dogs out? Everyone does.
Wow. Wow. Yay. That's good. And he was a really good singer, too.
Tom Ballard. What an amazing guy.
I wish he had a chick do the chick part, though. He
that would have been nice.
There's a chick in the background.
Ask Mary Lambert to do it.
Yeah, I bet she probably would. On Facebook, Keith T. Smith says, what do you think of body weight workouts? What do you think of CrossFit?
Oh, yeah.
CrossFit.
Ba-dum.
Dun, dun, dun.
Very controversial.
Well,
CrossFit.
Those are two questions, right?
Yes.
Start with the body weight one.
Okay. So body weight workouts, I think, are really great, especially if you don't have a lot of money to buy lots of weights and stuff. You can find moves that are actually, really great for building muscle and for doing HIIT workouts and all of that. So I'm definitely a proponent of body weight workouts.
Mm-hmm. CrossFit.
Okay.
Which is very controversial, and a lot of people hate on it because they feel that it ensures an unhealthy buildup of toxins in the body, and also because of the jerky types of motion, like kipper pull-ups, that dislocate people's shoulders.
Yeah, or just they're not effective.
Or even the instructor doesn't know how to do, like, teach people how to do a squat or a deadlift, and so you have all these newbies throwing out their lower backs.
So the idea of CrossFit, of, you know, really, you know, high energy training in a community, you know, in a gym altogether, you know, I think that's those ideas are really great. Unfortunately, some of the execution is, I think we've all seen CrossFit fail, you know, YouTube videos.
I like the pregnant woman during CrossFit.
Oh my gosh.
What happened?
9 months pregnant doing like squats.
And they're doing like clean sweeps, and it's like a underhand, overhand grip, and then they change. And I mean, I cringe, you know, whenever I see people doing things that are unsafe. So I guess if I can say anything about it, I'm just against people doing things that are unsafe.
But you know, it's on the. I agree with everything you're saying.
I'm trying to be diplomatic about it.
If it gets you out of the house, if it gets you motivated, just please go light and learn the moves before you do any of this stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm 41 years old. I just gave up on doing deadlifts because it was messing up my lower back so bad.
Sure.
And I have chronic lower back.
Whereas I'm almost 47 and I do deadlifts like a pro.
Yes, because you're a better person. And, you know, everybody has different bodies. Yeah. Like, Mark's hips are shaped differently than mine. And so he can go deep squats, whereas it's hard for me physiologically to go deep.
Right, right.
On Facebook, John Flower says, how old are you and what's your routine and diet? Any special tips for older, late 40s guys in a workout rut?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm 33. And, you know, I think that you can get fit at any age. I mean, there are people who are in their 70s who, you know, you start out with a little 2 pound weight and you go up to 5 and then you could just keep increasing. I just heard of this woman this morning who's doing, she was in a test group for a new program coming out called 21 Day Fit and or 21 Day Fix. And she started out, she's 70 years old and started out real easy. And now she can do a 4 minute plank. So I think a lot of it is, you know, what are you mentally ready to do? And are you able to do that with just little baby steps?
What are your three most underrated but most popular workout exercises? Like, I think the plank is absolutely one.
Oh, the plank's amazing. Like, really, if important. I never do a crunch in my life, I'll just do planks instead. It's so much more effective.
Is it? I just never do planks. I gotta do more of them.
Well, yeah. Planks, because they work not just the front, but your back. It works your core so well.
Everywhere.
And my little secret is I play, you know, a game show music, like the 20,000 Pyramid, which is about a minute and a half long. And I try to, like, make it a game to be distracted by the music. And that helps me, like, hold the position longer.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think another exercise that's really, really effective and basic is pull-ups. You know, different kinds of grips of underhand, overhand, wide and narrow. And it works your arms and your back and your sides. I mean, it's everywhere. And
it's
your core as well.
It's one of those key exercises that you really should do for optimal fitness. For
and,
sure.
You know, a lot of people avoid them because they feel like they're too hard. Mm-hmm. But one thing that you can do is... you know, do an assisted pull-up. So, of course, there are machines that give you the assistance, but even if you don't want to do that, get a chair. Stand on a chair with one leg and pull yourself up as much as you can, and then the next week, you'll be able to do just a little bit more.
That's humiliating.
Who wants to carry a chair to the gym?
I'm terrible at pull-ups. I just, you know, I gotta get back
into it. What's the difference between a pull-up and a lat pull-down, where you're sitting on the machine and you're bringing down the bar on a cable towards you? Why is the pull-up so much more effective in that sense?
Well, I mean, the pull-up is body weight, so of course, you know, depending on how much weight you're starting with, that makes a big impact. I mean, you could be really strong, but 400 pounds in a pull-up would be really hard. You know, with the lat pull-down, it gives you the variability of being able to select a lighter weight or a heavier weight. You know, so there's that option, but not everybody has access to a lat pull-down.
And the third one I would add to that is rotator cuff exercises.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're over 40, man, it's like I go to these old man bodybuilders. They all do them every single day.
Because that's
your
the first thing to go.
Your shoulder is the first thing to go.
It is. Not and it's your connected knee, not to your the back. Rest of the body.
Why is the shoulder so fucked up that way?
It's crazy. Like, you'd never realize how important it is until you injure it.
Well, you carry a lot of stress in your in those kinds of joints in your hips and in your arms, because, you know, you're carrying your arms around. And I don't know, when you're stressed out, your shoulders just get tight and you have problems with
the
that.
The leverage of, you know, if your arms are extended, it's creating a lot of stress on those joints.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is ready for anything until the artist makes it popular. Your life is not going to change until you make that decision You have to set that precedence for yourself. Yeah.
And, you know, over and over as I work with people, they come in with the goal of, I want to lose weight or I want to get ready for a wedding. And they do. But the cool thing is at the very end, many people see that they have an internal transformation. Mm-hmm. They realize that, oh, it's not just about the number on the scale, but it's really about, setting a goal and accomplishing it, knowing that I can work hard for something and accomplish it. Mm-hmm. And, of course, all the endorphins and just the boost in confidence that mm-hmm. it comes from setting a goal and doing it and then, looking great and being proud of yourself.
And it's doing it over and over and over again. And I think that, it's initially when you get started, it's hard, but after a while, you just kind of, your workouts just keep getting reinforced because, at this point in time, of like, if I don't work out for a couple of days, I just don't feel right. Like, my mind is foggy. I'm slow. I'm lethargic. And so it's like, you have to get that blood pumping, and that's its own reward.
Michael McBride, it's a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. This was an amazing experience.
Let's go left together. And Michael McBride is available as a fitness coach here in Chicago.
Yes.
You do a sliding scale.
You also have a couple of other jobs. You're a professor of music, and you actually are the director of music for a church. You have a Christian rock band.
Yeah.
So you are so wholesome.
We are.
When are we gonna like have our
it's like
meth
the male Donna
play
Reed,
party?
That's good.
Shoot up heroin.
That's right. A 4G with the dog. Apparently, with the
you're
song.
So wholesome. Do you drink alcohol at all?
I do.
You do.
And I mean, I'm not a huge.
He's not all that wholesome. I did. He kind of popped up more on my radar when I saw you do Rocky and Rocky Horror Picture.
Right. That's true. So I only like, play unwholesome on stage.
Did your jealous husband get angry about that?
I
bet he did.
The only. Yeah, of course, but
he's like,
he was like,
look at my
okay, it's part of a show,
you.
It's yeah. a character, it's okay, but...
It's theater, I'm supposed to suck these dicks.
That's right, it's just part of my work.
I'm a method actor.
A lot of practice goes
I heard
in
that
there.
Michael Douglas was a method actor for his role as Liberace.
For Liberace? Yeah, I hear he never goes out of character when he's filming.
Did your husband get jealous? He did.
Yeah,
what'd you do?
But you like it when he gets jealous,
well,
don't you?
Everyone likes to be jealous over it. Yeah.
Well, you're so adorable. Everybody fights over you.
Oh, please.
They're like, oh, I get to work out with Michael today.
But at the end of the day, I know who I'm going home with.
Do you like train your? Because like when Mark and I started dating and stuff, and I would go to the gym and I'd be like, okay, you want to do it this way, And then maybe I was a little too harsh on him, but Mark. Just would not like was furious at me.
Oh my god!
Showing him how to do like a bench press or something.
That's so not true.
To the point that we didn't work out together for many, many years, and it took a while for us to like try it again and do it together.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that
do
definitely
you
happened.
Remember that?
I don't necessarily remember
my god,
like that.
We fought so much about that.
Obviously, it was more traumatic for you.
Yeah. Well, I was just like, look, I want my husband to be healthy and to look good and to be his best. I love him. And
yeah.
I was a little lazy in the beginning, so there was that. Yeah. There was that.
Well, yeah. And, with Rodrigo and I in the beginning, I was like, hey, why aren't you doing this with me? And then, kind of fell off and we had lots of like crazy conversations about, about those boundaries. And then, it's 4 years later and now he's, a little over 3 weeks into his program. So he's doing it well.
Gentle nagging over many years can accomplish anything.
You just wear them down. That's right.
Yeah, they'll stop.
What's that Marilyn Monroe quote is misquoted to her? And it's
if you don't love me at my worst, how do you, don't deserve me at my best.
Or, and a lot of people, especially women, use this as an excuse to be a bitch. But, but it's misquoted to Marilyn Monroe.
Marilyn used to lift weights.
And she used to lift weights. But a lot of women and a lot of men use this to say, like, love me at my worst shape possible, because you don't mm-hmm. deserve me at my best.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Yeah. I mean, who wants to, there's so many layers there. Who wants to be like, I'm going to eat lots of terrible food and then try to get people to love me? Like, that's not really what they're saying.
Well, nobody goes out of their way to like intentionally be out of shape.
Right. And then they're kind of bidding, baiting other people. Mm-hmm. Well, do you love me now? Like, that's pretty messed up. But I understand the idea of like, if it's going to be true love, then it can't be based on just one aspect of the person.
It can't be common. You have to have common interests to make a relationship do well, right. but that common interest can't be your partner's dick.
That is only one of many.
Yeah.
It has to be, you know, your interest in music or pop culture or your
right.
love
you go
for
to the
sushi.
Movies or whatever.
You're, yeah. You have two dogs. You have a Chihuahua and a...
Yeah, they're both actually brother or sister, Chihuahua Pomeranian mixes.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're named Gizmo and Binks, and they are the softest, most adorable little demons that you could ever think of.
Did Rodrigo get a little self-conscious of getting a Mexican dog?
You know, it is the Mexican part of him coming out. It's like his people. Yeah.
Is there, like, the, besides pit bulls, Chihuahuas are the most, like, I guess people get them and not and don't like them, and so they return them to shelters. Or like, animal shelters
they can be
have
aggressive.
A horrible time with pit bulls
and Chihuahuas.
It's lucky
they're small if they're so aggressive, because then you'd just be like...
Oh my gosh, if it were four times the size, it'd be terrible.
What would happen if you mixed a Chihuahua with, like, a Rottweiler? Is that even possible?
I don't know.
You they can get, mix crazy stuff in little beakers and test tubes.
You would get machete. Last but not least, don't sneak steroids into your husband's food.
That is
if you're
not
trying to get him to build muscle, be the role model you want be the change you want to see in others, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And but here's one man who got into trouble with the law because he snuck abortion pills into his girlfriend's food.
Well, she got pregnant. He didn't want the kid. She did. His father was a OBGYN. He did an ultrasound, gave her a checkup and all that kind of stuff. And then, like, the guy comes home. He's just like, oh, yeah, my dad says you have to take these amoxicillin and you have to take these antibiotics because you have an infection. So she started taking them because he'd removed any kind of identifying marks from the abortion pills. And then she took them and, like, became violently ill the next day and went to the hospital. And then, yeah, so he just got sentenced to 13 years in jail.
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Shit.
What, for manslaughter? Or what would the
No, wasn't
charge
for manslaughter.
Be?
It was for tampering with consumer product and conspiracy to commit mail fraud. So, so it wasn't for, like, killing a baby. It's because, you know, that could have been, like, a life sentence or something.
Well, it's not illegal to kill a babe, an unborn child.
Sometimes
it is.
I think that there's sometimes, like, depending on what's going on, where, like, a mother has been killed and the baby's been killed as well. Depending on how old the baby is,
it
can be like a double kind of thing. Mm-hmm, I think under some jurisdictions.
But of course, then a lot of conservative states use it as a way to restrict women from accessing abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Girl. Yeah. It's like,
wow.
Why not just talk about it with your girlfriend?
You know?
That's why I say it's like, you know, I'm glad I'm gay because the worst thing I have to worry about is HIV.
And I think that they say that, like, I forget what this, it's either 30% or 50% of women who are murdered are with child. So a lot of times, like, you know, getting a girl pregnant can make guys go crazy.
But the craziest is that guys don't want to use condoms. And, and as much as we get nagged for not, I mean, it was like, what is it?
50% of gay guys don't use condoms.
Half of the gay guys out there, regardless of what they say or not, don't use condoms.
Sure. It doesn't feel right. You know, it's in the moment. Da, da, da.
They, for whatever reason. And at the same time, there's Truvada medication. You can do pre-exposure prophylaxis. A lot of people qualify for it with their health care. And for God, help me why they don't take it. If you have health care, dear listener, and you're sexually active, chances are you're going to find yourself with somebody not using condoms and risk exposure to HIV. Why not take PrEP?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's free. Yeah. Why
well,
not
maybe
take
it's education as well. Maybe they, you know, don't know that it's available or that it's out there.
I think part of it is there. It's still the idea of having a pill that mitigates the function of a condom after 30
years.
It's a
hard concept to wrap your head around. And then it's also, too, it's like you're taking, like, you know, I think in some people it's like, it's my whore pill.
It's my whore pill.
Right? You know, and it's like maybe they don't want to take that.
Take it with
orange
juice.
You know?
But, you know, it's like, it's what the birth control pills were for women. It's about sexual liberation, you know? It's not about being tied to this virus or this baby. Mm-hmm. I hate to be comparing HIV to a baby, but it's the same kind of logic here. And it's like, look, we can reduce or eradicate, dramatically reduce HIV infections in Americans just by implementing PrEP. And it costs virtually nothing.
And much less than treating it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. I was like, can your church preach about that.
Yes, they
on Sunday.
They do. Yeah.
They do actually.
Yeah,
they talk about prep at the sermon.
Sometimes
it's a
gay-friendly they do.
Church, right?
Yeah, it's part of the Metropolitan Community Churches. So they'd started about 45 years ago by a gay man, Troy Perry, and it's specifically for the LGBT community.
And it's based out of Texas, isn't it?
He's in LA, actually.
Okay, because there's this, like there's enormous gay mega churches in Dallas, or is it in Houston?
I think that there's one in Dallas, and I think there's one in Austin.
In Austin, Texas? Mm-hmm. Now, wow. Have you gone to them?
No.
Do you want to go to them?
I'd love to.
I'll go with you with one of them.
Yeah.
Let's go to the gay church in Austin.
And make out.
What if the restrooms are cruising?
Well, everything in Texas is bigger.
I mean, those churches are like spectacles.
Oh, there's thousands.
Concerts.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And you play the you're like a one-man rock band for your church, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we, you know, on any given Sunday, it's kind of a rotating group, but, you know, sometimes we'll have, so I play keys and I sing, and then we'll have several other singers, sometimes drums and bass and guitar, and just kind of mix it all together.
So do you like do the birds to everything, turn?
We haven't done that yet, but that's a great suggestion.
Those are Bible lyrics, you
know? From Ecclesiastes, absolutely.
Yes. And it's rock and roll.
That's right.
Or how about like, geez, what is that?
We Jesus used to sing Morning Is Broken by Cat Stevens. We used to sing that song
in
church.
Oh, yeah, that's
true.
What's the
Jesus Is a Friend of Mine? Or?
Jesus Is a Friend of Mine.
How does that song go?
Oh, Jesus Is a Friend of Mine, some kind of sky song.
Or like sing like Jesus Christ Superstar. Have you guys ever done any of those?
You know, we did, some stuff from Joseph. I did
That's coming
Any
to
Dream
town.
Will Do. And we did some stuff from... oh man, what was it? It was a mashup of, oh man, I'm blanking. Donna Summers. We did some
Hot
Donna
stuff.
Summers. And then mixed with the Bee Gees.
So you're like at the church getting like, looking for some hot stuff, baby, this evening.
That's right. And then look at Jesus.
Look at Jesus. That's fantastic.
It's a really cool community because it's, you know, people who a lot of times kind of come from other churches and maybe they've been outcast and they're looking for a place to plug in because they want to, you know, experience their own spirituality, but not with all these expectations of the way things need to be.
How square.
Are most of the people that come like Protestant or Catholic churches or
everywhere. Yeah, and sometimes even it is a Christian church, but sometimes even from non-Christian religions.
Michael, how square is this? Can't you guys like, you know, just have a big party?
We'll have a potluck.
Yeah, so you know, pull out of some ganja and be like, in the Garden of Eden, honey.
That's right.
Don't you know that I always be true?
We actually did a fundraiser at Hamburger Mary's a few weeks ago for we did their ham bingo.
What happened to the like Christianity and pop music and like it seems like you know people are just like fuck this religion.
Yeah.
Screw
man.
It.
I mean
that's how I feel. I'm like I'm you know good more power to you but
yeah.
When I come to Jesus, it's Jesus Christ Superstar or nothing at all.
Right, right.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, I think we all have our own expectations with like what Christian music should be if that's the case. You know, actually one of the classes that I teach at the university is the history of Christian music from like zero to what's happening today. And there's a lot of like worship wars about, you know, what should be appropriate for church and what shouldn't be appropriate. And, you know, a lot of people really criticize Christian music today for saying like it's very passé or it's very kind of formulaic.
So Jars of Clay is no longer cutting edge.
Oh, my goodness. No. They're great, but they were.
But it's like, you know, you listen, it's in the 70s, it's like, you know, Christian music was like groovy. Everybody.
Yeah.
Jews liked it.
Yeah, Jews for Jesus.
You know, and then all of a sudden it's like schmaltzy, you know, worse than One Direction.
Well, I think in the 80s and early 90s, it was highly influenced by like the rock power ballad. So that, you know, with people like Michael W. Smith, who I followed and I love.
You love him?
Well, I think it's a beautiful man, too. And, you know, all of that. So definitely influenced by, you know, that genre of music. But, you know, I'm going to get a little academic here.
I'm loving this.
Go ahead.
You should come back and do a whole show about this.
Christian
throughout the centuries, throughout the millennia, the Christian music has... trailed what's happening outside the church. And, you know, a lot of times the church has been, you know, kind of resistant to this newfangled music. In fact, you know, the instrument, the organ, used to be, now we think of it as like the most holy instrument or whatever. It's kind of very churchy. And it actually used to be called the devil's bagpipe.
So what did they use instead?
Well, actually, there was a time before instruments were even used in church because they thought that that was man-made and only voices should be allowed in church.
Bells, lots of bells.
So today, I mean, we had this conversation of how can, you know, what music is appropriate in the church and what's not, what is, you know, possible or worshipful.
Well, I'm sure at one point in time, people were like, a guitar in a church? Oh my God, you can't have a guitar in a church.
And a lot of churches are splitting today because of drums. Absolutely.
Like, drum percussions are the sound that Satan makes as he's screwing you.
That's exactly what they say.
I'm gonna have to revisit this. But it is like, you know, sometimes like we snuck into one of those mega churches in Puerto Rico and we opened the door with my dad.
Oh yeah.
It was like 100 years when he was alive. He was 100 years old. And we opened the doors and the music like blasted out like a rock concert.
Mm-hmm.
And all these like ex-drug addicts, some of them are still probably using, came up to my dad and they're like, I used to be on drugs until I discovered Jesus. You want to join the church? And my dad's just like, what the fuck is this?
He's
like,
get back on the drugs.
Sometimes a little meth is much better than the Bible.
And that is the moral of the story,
but
folks.
It's a harm reduction, you know, it's like whatever it takes to get you through the day. I mean, do you like, are you such a spiritual person that you actually like read the Bible and like get inspiration from it?
I do. And you know, the way that I read the Bible has changed.
Do you like pick up a Gideon?
I pick up the Gideon Bible. No, I usually turn on Real Housewives.
Or do you have like
then.
A pamphlet or a blog? Because it's like the Bibles are printed on that rice paper. It's so hard to read.
That's right. Well, you know, I throughout my kind of coming out years, you know, I grew up very conservative, Christian, went to Christian schools, was homeschooled and all of that. And, you know, the way I read the Bible changed after I came out and, you know, kind of was honest with myself and with my friends and family and God. So I still read the Bible today. And but I read it in a different way. You understanding context and being much more academic than I was before and kind of trying to see like, where are they going with this? And, you know, what's the lesson that I can take from it? How is it relevant for today?
I wonder what if you took the Chinese Bible.
Like, they have a Chinese Bible.
Well, they have Bible translated to Chinese.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Somebody translated that. And then you brought it back to English. What would that be like?
I'm sure it would be a mess.
It would be. It'd be like happy joy joy time.
It's like today. Because to me, it's like it seems like the biggest shortcoming of all these things is that there's so many variations and flavors
and translations,
and
nuances, and everything happens. Mm-hmm.
And that's like the MCC's big thing. They have a brochure that everybody's well familiar with. Is like, well, homosexuality is an interpretation of the. But there's so much sexism and violence and racism and slavery in this Bible that is not disagreed upon by anyone.
Yeah, I think probably if I can kind of sum up the biggest difference for me is that I kind of shifted from thinking that the Bible was always prescriptive into something that was sometimes descriptive. So just because somebody, you know, drove a tent peg through somebody else's temple doesn't mean that I need to be doing that, which is actually in the Bible. It's
unless
gross.
It's, you know, naked.
Well,
sexually
I don't know what that means.
That's right.
Drive your tent peg.
There is that kind of fetish.
Well, Michael, it's really fascinating talking to you. Will you come back and walk us through the history of Christian music from zero to 2014?
Fitness and Christian music. That's the combination.
Well, it's a different show.
Yeah.
But absolutely. Something else. Maybe talk more about your cabaret projects.
L. Ron Butterfly.
Yes.
Because there's some like really great stuff that was in the 1960s and 70s that I just think is, you know, stands up regardless of your religious or, you know, persuasions or philosophies. It's like, it's really good music.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's a great song, Randy Stonehill, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music?
Thank you, Michael, for coming on the show. I want to remind the listeners that we can't do this podcast without your help. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today. And you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus because your contributions really do make this show happen.
Honey, we're passing the collection plate.
Hallelujah.
You say it's like, think of this as your, if Feast of Fun is your church, we rely on your donations, your, what is it they call it, tribute?
Tithes?
Your tithes.
Yes, your tithes and offerings.
Your tithes and offerings to make to keep the heat on in the church and keep the pews clean. So, dear brothers and sisters out there, please consider making a generous contribution to Feast of Fun by going to feastoffun.com/donate and pony up some Monty Hunty to make the show funty.
We also have some t-shirts for sale, and you can get those at feastoffun.com/store. And Michael, where can people, they can find you on Facebook, and, or do you have another website too? Or
yeah, I have a website, ripped411.com is my website, ripped411.com, and Michael Scott McBride on Facebook.
And which one has more naked photos of you on there?
My Facebook has lots of naked photos, so
these
please
photos
go
of
to
you.
That.
I've got... I need some privacy right here. Michael, these are great photos.
Ripped411.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You look fantastic today.
And thanks for all the great advice.
Let's go lift together, people. Bye.
Bye.
It's legs day.